Folks, I met these brothers about a year ago. I mean, really sharp, got to act together. And I'm like, I need to meet these guys. I need to hang out with them more often. And they've been doing big things out here. And I'm like, I want to know their story. Let me learn a little bit more about them. Hopefully inspire other youth out there who maybe watch this or friends. Maybe are like, hey, let's make things happen. The next voice you'll hear will be these brothers who are doing big things in the state of Maryland. Be right back after these messages. Welcome to the No Picks of the Dark podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Dante. Folks, you know I have nothing but the heavy hitters on the show. And we are down in Annapolis. Annapolis. I'm not going to say the place because I don't know if they're giving me free drinks tonight. Yeah. But if they are, I will say their names. But thank you so much for coming down to Annapolis on location. You know I don't go anywhere unless it's special. So, too, I'm going to go everybody from left to right. Mr. Maurice, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
So, Davion, how are you?
I'm doing very well.
Happy to be here. So, Alton, how are you?
Hey,
we're here. Let's talk. Let's have time. So, introduce yourself. What do you do?
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Maurice Simpson. I'm senior manager of state government and regulatory affairs at Constellation Energy, the nation's largest clean energy provider. And so I lead all of our legislative and regulatory efforts in the Mid-Atlantic area.
Okay.
Davion Percy, Vice President of Community Relations and Public Policy at Luminous Health, a regional healthcare system here in Maryland. We operate two main hospitals in Anne Arundel County and Prince George's County, and we serve eight counties throughout the state.
That's a lot to follow up with. Alban Pinnell, Director of Government Relations for Coca-Cola Consolidated. So we are the largest bottler in the nation of all Coke products. It's interesting. We're a system in the Coca-Cola system. We're the largest bottler, so I represent the Mid-Atlantic area and do our thing on the lobby ground here.
Okay, listen, I had to have you on the show. Because I went to Mako, shout out to Mako Conference. And I remember my friends were like, my first year going, they're like, you got to go to this party. Or a meeting. We'll call it late night meeting.
Late night reception.
I'm sorry. And the reception, and I went and I was like, I love this. And I'm going to tell you one of the things I really liked. It was like mostly African Americans, people of brown, you know, black. And I just was so happy to be in a room like that. It reminded me when I was growing up, I was a Jack and Jill of America. And that's what that room reminded me of. And it was like-minded, smart people who wanted to achieve the same goals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got to have these guys on the show. And then we talked about it. And I saw you guys at several different events around the state of Maryland. And I saw you guys again last year. Yep. I was like, we got to make this happen. And I'm glad you guys made time. Because we're in the middle of session and you guys are busy. So thank you guys for your time. Appreciate all of you guys.
Thanks for having us.
So we're going to get the background story about all you brothers. Because we got to find out who you guys are.
You're right.
Where are you from in Maryland? Tell us where you're from in Maryland. You know, Baltimore thing is where you're at the high schools. We'll do that. And also, where you went to college. Talk a little about that.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised in Prince George's County, right outside of D.C. So on the other side of 295, it's like I like to say when it comes to my friends in Baltimore. Born and raised in Prince George's. Went to Charles Flowers High School. We do that high school thing, too, in the county. Graduated in 2007. Went away to college at Clark Atlanta University, where I got my degree in political science. Got really involved in grassroots politics, working on the 2008 campaign for Barack Obama, worked for Atlanta City Council races, and then went to work in the Georgia General Assembly.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm a native Washingtonian.
I'm from Northwest D.C., in the Shaw neighborhood. Uptown. Yes, absolutely. I lived in Prince George's County since I was 12, currently live in National Harbor. I graduated from Gwynn Park High School in Brandywine. And I've been working, going to school, majored in political science, at University of Maryland University College, now University of Maryland Global Campus, and started out working in Prince George's County government for 10 years and then moved into the lobbying side.
I'm actually only a transplant on the panel today. So originally from Petersburg, Virginia, which I like to liken as a microcosm of Prince George's County. I got to University of Maryland College Park in 2004. And one thing about that time, and we'll kind of know and maybe even dive into, was the kind of mystique and kind of stereotypes of Prince George's less PG County. Because a lot of people don't know is that University of Maryland College Park is in Prince George's County. And a lot of people there, you know, when I was younger, when I was a freshman, sophomore, would say, oh, don't go in Prince George's County, don't go in PG, because you'll get shot, you'll get killed, you'll get murdered, stuff like that. I never could figure out, like, you know, being a translator, what that meant, what that was about, and stuff like that. I got really involved, really politically engaged, ran for Black Student Union president, won. That kind of turned my mind into the politics of the region and the area. Then pledged fraternity, Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. I mean, that actually deepened my roots into the area in Maryland. And oddly enough, then the chief of staff for Anthony Brown, who was lieutenant governor at the time, was an Omega man. And, you know, I was doing my thing on campus, doing stuff. And he said, you know what, you might have a future in politics. Had no idea, no clue what lobbying actually was. I just knew you can run for office, you could be a staffer, that's it. And we'll get into it deeper and stuff like that. But from that point, did a quick internship down here in Annapolis. That was my route. So, you know, this is really circling back now. And that kind of took off like a rocket on my trajectory. And now I'm lobbying for one of the biggest companies in the world.
Now, all of you guys, when you're growing up, what did you really want to be? Like, what did you grow up? Because I mean, as a Black man, I know I never heard of lobbyists until I got later in life.
Yeah.
Same. Okay, let's be transparent. Unless your family was in politics.
Right. Yeah.
What did you guys want to do growing up? Like, what were some of the things that you guys looked forward to? Because I mean, remember, I was growing up, I wanted to be a buyer for fashion or for Ralph Lauren. Oh, wow. Go to Italy and go to fashion shows for, you know, it's Fashion Week. I wanted to be fly.
Yeah.
I'm not there now.
But we're getting that one. Yeah. But we're trying to, like,
about you guys?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all, you know, kind of find our way. Like, growing up, I knew I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to do. And that's kind of how I set my path, whether it was, you know, studying political science, pre-law. I was very active in, you know, I was president of the pre-law society in college and, you know, just kind of really charting that path, knowing I wanted to go to law school. And I actually wanted to be a prosecutor, you know, being from Prince George's County, a predominantly Black community, and understanding the dynamics that Black people have with the criminal justice system and the power dynamics, and realizing that so much control is on the government side with prosecution,
mm-hmm.
right? Prosecutors have what's called prosecutorial discretion. They determine what your charges are, what sentencing they recommend, all those things. And I felt that there needed to be more of us on this side. You know, I'm a little Black boy from Prince George's. I could be at, you know, back then, Landover Mall, Alverson Mall, Marlowe Heights, like all the places where young people hang out. And you can just be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And that interaction with the criminal justice system could change your trajectory. And I felt that, you know, particularly from where I'm from, inside the Beltway at Landover, that, you know, someone like me who understood my community, being on that side, on the inside, could be, you know, helpful in understanding the plight of those young people coming from those communities into the criminal justice system, having more sympathy and empathy, and just understand the other kind of socioeconomic dynamics that people deal with when they get to criminal justice system. And so I wanted to be that base on the inside that they saw coming in. And so, yeah, so that was kind of how I charted my path, was to go and be a prosecutor. But, you know, I also had an interest in politics, and that side kind of took off faster. I went to, you know, graduated from college, coming back, went to work for the Prince George's County Council. And just got right into the policy side of things, and then went back to law school later in life, and while working full time, and you know, doing intergovernment affairs, understanding how you know like words in Black and white in law also impacts what a prosecutor can and cannot do, and how the judiciary responds to that. So, you know, I kind of went on that path, but no, and I'll talk about how I got into lobbying later, but like. On the front end, I was definitely more so wanted to be in a courtroom, typical trial attorney, prosecute cases.
I like that.
Yeah, so very interesting. I wanted to be a police officer. You know, I was going to bring him over to this.
Right.
Right, exactly. Right. Bring him up, I
think. And hopefully they get back out.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted to be a police officer growing up in D.C., I was born in 85, so I grew up at the height and the tail end of the crack epidemic.
Mm.
Grew up in the Shaw neighborhood. That neighborhood is nothing what it was then. Yeah. It's nothing like that now. This neighborhood has changed significantly.
Yeah,
we can talk about that later, too.
But been significant changes in that neighborhood. But growing up, not only did I grow up during that time, but my grandfather was a police officer at that time in the narcotics unit, the drug enforcement unit at the time. So he's fighting crime in the same district that we lived in, arresting the fathers and mothers and grandparents of my classmates that I went to school with, which really made it a very tough childhood for me, as you could imagine. I learned to fight at a very early age, learned to defend myself specifically. But really, with everything that was going on at the time and other family issues, the only positive influence I had in my life was my grandfather, who was a police officer, and I wanted to be like him. So I grew up wanting to be a police officer. My neighbors were upset with me. Every time we played cops and robbers, I always was the cop. If you wanted to make me a robber, I wasn't playing, you know. And so then I later moved into Prince George's County with the other side of my family, where I was really exposed to a much better life and more opportunities. And my journey into government and politics really started in eighth grade, and I'm gonna shout her out, and maybe she'll see this. My eighth grade social studies teacher, Helen Marshall.
Hello.
Charts, graphs, patterns, numbers, that's a big thing for me. You could put a 20-digit number up on a wall, and if I can find a pattern, I'll remember it for the rest of my life.
Mm.
So I remember us being in social studies class, and we were talking about the different structures of governments around the world. And we started talking about the American government and a system of checks and balances. And she was explaining it, but I still couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had a flip chart after she finished explaining it. And she flipped the chart over, and I saw the checks and balances, judicial, legislative, and executive branch with mm-hmm. the arrows going back and forth, saying, you know, and I said to myself, how can we get anything done in America with this system? And I just became fascinated with it and started studying on my own. And then through high school, joined Future Business Leaders of America, vice president of Student Government Association, and all kinds of other opportunities that eventually led, which we'll get into later, me going into government politics and becoming a government relations professional.
You always set me up at the end. I don't know what these big hitters. These big hitters.
We'll run it back.
Yeah. So originally, I wanted to be either a doctor or a lawyer. I love science. I love biology, stuff like that. Something interesting to know, and I think a lot of people of color, specifically in America, go through this. Whereas I went to private school in Southern Virginia, pretty much majority white. I was probably one of two people in all my AP classes and stuff like that of color, things of that nature. But, you know, during those times, our history is not taught. So when I got to Maryland, you know, loved it, but naturally same situation where one of two brothers on my floor in my dorm, that other brother, still friends with him, never graduated. And that's kind of been my whole life story. Became an Eagle Scout, all white troop, still the only black Eagle Scout from a predominantly white, black city, right, in Petersburg, Virginia. Got to Maryland, and I was on a pre-med track, did horrible. The numbers and the sciences and the words and stuff like that weren't, you know, permeating the brain. But also, I didn't have good study skills, didn't really understand how to time manage stuff like that, so had a terrible freshman year, but I took an African-American Studies and Public Policy class. And my brain kind of exploded as to there's a whole nother world out here that I haven't been taught. There's a history that I haven't been taught, but there's also something else at play here within this political government structure that is not spoken about. Policies like redlining, policies like TANF, policies that directly affect communities of color negatively, you know, were at play, and I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what it meant to be a welfare queen. I had no idea what, you know, certain, you know, qualitative research projects were in the black community had a direct impact on policies that were being instituted in America and your communities and stuff like that. And so I made a odd career change, and I said, this is going to be my major, African-American Studies and Government and Politics. My parents are both engineers from NC State, huge, great engineering community, school and stuff like that. Maryland has a great engineering school. And they said, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to make money? I don't know. I don't know, but there is something here that's drawing me to the fact that I want to know more about my people, my communities, and maybe one day I can make a change. How? I don't know. But, you know, the Lord kind of set my path.
ahead and said, you know, keep going, keep learning. This is going to bring you somewhere someday. And I did not plan to be in this space. I, you know, was as involved as I could. But, you know, if you essentially mold the keys, I like to say, to be able to open the door that you get to one day, you'll be ready. And so I never laid out a plan, but I knew that I needed to be involved in this and go in these programs and do these things.
And here I am today. Well, I commend you guys for everything, for telling the audience about what's going on. Because so my dad was a police officer.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't have toy guns in my house. We didn't have anything like that. AAS was my favorite course in college. That really taught me. That opened my eyes about life. And I love that you talk about you wanted to be a lawyer. I fight tooth and nail of young kids now. Don't scream about going to jury duty. The reason why those black and brown kids get convicted because nobody on there look like us there.
Correct.
And I like that you were trying to do the going that route. And we need more people to see that and understand how important the judicial system is.
Yeah.
And the laws they're creating with redlining and whatnot. So I can all you brothers were telling your stories because it's always good to learn a little bit of background about what you guys come from and whatnot and whatnot. So before we get into how you guys met each other, because we're going to talk about that, we'll take a quick 2-minute break. I will be right back at these messages.
Are you or someone you love in need of mental health support? For All Seasons is now offering same-day therapy appointments with no wait list. Through the For All Seasons Open Access Program, you can walk in for mental health services and begin therapy in the same visit. For All Seasons accepts all insurances and provides financial assistance if you need it. For therapy, psychiatry, or victim support, we have appointments available today. Call For All Seasons, 410-822-1018.
And folks, we are back with these brothers who are doing amazing things. I'm so excited to be here. It's an honor and privilege to hang out with you guys for this little bit of time. I know you guys are busy. So y'all are the hardest working brothers I know. I've been trying to really get this for 6 months.
That's true.
And we finally made it happen. So we're going to make it
during the busiest time is our
right. Busiest time. I was like, well, let's just make it happen, you know?
Right.
So tell us how you guys met. Because I'm curious of brotherhood because it's such a strong bond between you three. That every time I see one of you, either all three of y'all, you know, you're never by yourselves. And I like that camaraderie. I love that fellowship to me. Community, tell me about how you guys met.
So we have a running joke and / theme that we say together always that we did hard time in county together.
Oh.
County time. So you people say I did time in county. So actually, yeah. So we all met at the Prince George's County Council. Myself and Davion here worked for the county in different capacities back in 2009. Well, you started when?
I started in 07.
I got to the county council working for council member then Ingrid Turner in 2010. And so we all kind of did like our respective administrative things. I worked for her doing constituent services. And, you know, we were kind of like a family. We were doing the work of the people. We were serving at our respective different elected officials and stuff like that. So I was there in 10. Davion came in at what, 11?
13.
So I was pretty much holding it down for about... I'm kind of the vet in this group. We had about on the floor, maybe... Each office had their own constituent services person, and they were either brothers or sisters. And not just respectively people of color, but just we were kind of all a community, a family and stuff like that. Because day in and day out, you're dealing with like local elected things and stuff like that. As people may know, you know, all politics, the most important part of politics is local. Right. And so we were really on the ground.
Say that one more time, though, because a lot of people don't understand that. Say that one more time.
Most important politics is local. From the fact that your street has a pothole in it, from the fact that your grass is too high, from the fact that your neighbor's house may be having some, you know, fences and things like that, or some issues that, you know, are unsavory and stuff like that. If there's a car parked in your front yard that, you know, doesn't have tires on it right now, you know, we were those guys like out there representing for our elected officials. We were the voices of our principals, if you will. And so we were essentially going through that. And then what, two years later, I met Davion, and him and I kind of formed a bond. We had no clue we were going to be lobbyists, had no idea. He essentially had aspirations for a long time running for office. People were trying to always push me to run for office. I was Blackstone Union president. I was president of my fraternity. But I always said, you know what? My boss, then council member, her schedule is all over the place. And I want a family. I want a job that's easy. I want money.
Did you get
it? You know? No, I did not. But I wanted a life of my own. And actually what I saw was like the chiefs of staff are kind of living a better life. they were still essentially on the scene, but they didn't have to go and, you know, kiss babies and shake hands and be all over the place and stuff like that. So it's like, all right, maybe that's my angle. And I'll go back to the lobbying thing in a second, but I'll pass off to Davion. But him and I got really close. And I remember something important in lobbying that we do all the time is coalesce and information share.
Yeah.
Information sharing is probably the key of how good we're at our job. And if you're not sharing information, you're probably not doing your job well down here in Annapolis. And so David and I actually, oddly enough, would share information in a kind of personal secret capacity of things going on in the council to be able to advance our then principles for the betterment of themselves. So what I'm doing in my office, I'm sharing with him. What he's doing, he's sharing with me. And how can our two principals, you know, seem like they're doing good together for the community? Because we need to get our jobs done anyway. And so I met Davion that way. And I pass off to him.
Yeah, so you've heard a couple different dates, right? In terms of when I started. So I started working for Prince George's County in 2007. I was in the executive branch in an agency called the Department of Environmental Resources. Now it's the Department of Permitting, Inspections, and Enforcement. I was there for 5 years before moving over to the county council.
So I did
a lot of work there. So I started out pretty much in a customer service capacity, moved on to helping to move plans for construction permits through. Mm-hmm. Then I eventually became an inspector where I was actually inspecting those items that you talked about. So when the community complains or your constituent services person calls the agency and says, there's a house that's not being upkept, there's right. road issues here, there's abandoned cars on a street there. In some cases, you know, this person is housing a bunch of chickens in his house.
I mean, right.
Whatever it was, we responded, and it was up to me and my colleagues to investigate all those things that could bring down the overall quality of life in a community. And that's important. I'm not going to get too much on my soapbox, but I'm going to say that's important because when we talk about the value of your property, when we talk about yep. crimes and opportunity for crimes and all those things that could negatively impact the community, it really starts right there. We have there's a theory called the broken windows theory.
That's right.
Right, where, you know, if a window is broken or there's an issue in a community, the longer it takes to fix it is an indication on how much people or the government cares about that community or the lack thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So through that work and my involvement in organizations like the Young Democrats, where he and I first met,
yep.
I was recruited by then council member Karen Toles mm-hmm. to go over to her office to be a constituent services specialist and lead that work and her community outreach work. And that's where we met. Maurice is being humble because you know, we called him the deputy council administrator, deputy junior council administrator.
Right, that's right.
So he was on the administrative side yep. that really supported the entire council.
Mm-hmm.
And that relationship actually helped all of us really, really advance there. And then in those meetings that we had, it started out with really us internalizing the work that we were doing.
Yep.
We really care about the community. So there were times where whether it's him or me or others, we're spending time saving senior citizens from foreclosure because they've been taken advantage of, trying to help mothers find housing and services for their children, or consoling somebody in the community whose child was killed walking to or from school. And, you know, that became really stressful. So we became a support system. In a sense, and that's how that bond grew.
And I just want to jump in real quick before you go, in that, you know, you had connections and relationships with people in the council that I'll lean on you for and say, who do I call for this issue, and vice versa. And kind of this brings it again full circle to what we do now, to this point where, you know so-and-so, what's so-and-so's number, how should I approach the situation, so-and-so, and we are able to lean on each other and say, you know, can you help me here, can I help you, and go from there. So that, you know, just wanted to set you up for that.
No, I appreciate that. No, so, you know, as the baby brother of the group, being the youngest, that I get that in. So,
I got a ball spot back. That's my mind. Listen, we all holding them. We all have our methods. So,
save my grandkids.
Listen, do what it takes. So for me, my entree was when I graduated college in 2011, you know, I was, eager to come back, and it was the only place I had found a job, honestly. I applied for jobs in every, I left Prince George's County and went to Atlanta.
Right.
So, you know, I was like, I'm not going back to Prince George's County. I was like, I'm going to Miami, Chicago, New York, Philly. I applied for jobs everywhere. But the only place I got a job, I graduated on a Monday. My next job was back in D.C. on a Monday after graduation. So that I took that as a sign. And then a few months later, I got involved with the Prince George's County Young Democrat.
Okay.
And the outgoing president at the time, now Delegate Nicole Williams, she was on her way out and kind of helping set up the next team. And, you know, she asked me to, she and a now council member on the county council asked me to serve with her and build another team. And Davion and I end up on the slate to become the next leaders of the Democrats in Prince George's County. And, you know, we ran a great campaign. Like, we did all the things, but we came up short. Like, we came up short in our election. Another team won, but, you know, we stayed involved and stayed engaged. And I think that was an important piece to the work that we're able to do in terms of meeting people and building relationships. Because a few months later, Davion went to the council, right? I think like October, November, that fall of 11.
Yep.
And then I came to the council in March of 2012. Mm-hmm. And so I'm the last one to join them at the council, but we all had this kind of background in Prince George's politics and like, who are the stakeholders, who are the influencers, and knowing, you know, once you're in government, you know, there's the way government operates, but there's this outside force, you know, constituents and stakeholders and donors and, like, you know, just the political machine, as you'll call it, who have influence and access to help members make decisions. So we came into our government roles understanding that dynamic and how that impacted our jobs. And so, like, they worked for individual council members who are accountable to constituents. I work for the council administration, which is accountable to all the members and their staffs and to help them do their jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So whether it's, all their committee work, you know, committee documents, getting all their members prepped to do committee work, or, you know, grants or, you know, they have constituent events and stuff. So finance is on our side where, you know, we process their payments so their events can be successful, right? Like, and, you know, there's that internal political hierarchy to how that works and the internal relationships. So, like, you know, me being on the administration side was helpful to them being able to execute their role in the members' office. And so, you know, me coming to council, they both embraced me, right? Like, it was a few of us young people. We kind of developed our own, like, little caucus amongst all the staffers. Or, you know, there was, you know, Prince George's County is a traditional government like any other. And so you have kind of your stalwarts, if you will, who, you know, this is how things run and this is the culture. And then, but, you know, there was a growing body of younger people coming in looking to innovate and, you know, express our ideas. Like, you know, the millennial generation, that's what we do. We're disruptors. Like, we question things. Right. And so, you know, we kind of banded together and said, like, look, like, we could be more efficient. We can do more. We kind of move the needle more. Like, and we came in with such connections to our communities and all the things that we see from constituent service issues to, you know, and I think Davion's perspective, actually working at an agency out on the street, like, evaluating people's property out there, like, looking at people's grass being at a certain height or fences being wrong or just like all the violations, like making that real and bringing that perspective into the policymaking world. Because there's usually a disconnect, right? Like, you have folks who sit like at the ivory tower who want to just kind of pronounce thoughts and ideas with actually no concept of a day-to-day impact. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, I think Davion's being modest in that perspective that he brings to any of this conversation. And we all get to do it now in our current roles, but, like, Davion specifically, like, he was always working for government, but he was working on a different part of government and bringing that to policymaker attention. Like, no, when you set this regulation, this is what it means for an inspector who's out on the street and how they have to evaluate that. And this is the conversation that inspector has to have at the door of a homeowner.
Right.
And that engagement and what that looks like, which always isn't a good conversation.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, you know, as landowners, you know, we believe we can do whatever we want. which is not true. Because, you know, we have a social contract and there's just laws and rules that kind of keep all of us together. But, you know, that perspective that he's able to bring in and to inform the policy conversation is important. And so I just got to highlight that because I think, you know, you can't just gloss over that. But once we all got to the council, like kind of getting in our stride and, you know, figuring out what our jobs are and then how the other person's job is helpful to the other one, and just learn how to leverage that. Like all of that was kind of like our training ground to figure out how what I know is beneficial to you, mm-hmm. what you know, how that's beneficial to me, and how do we leverage all that together. And, you know, there's a, you know, kind of humility that you have to have in that, right? Because in this space, you're kind of forced to like project that you know everything and can do everything. And sometimes you really have to be subservient to, or, you know, subvert your will to that of someone else who really has an expertise.
Well,
right. And so, like, you know, there's a deference that we have for one another when it comes to just who knows what and why, and not in a you're better than me situation, but it's like, you know your stuff on this. And so I'm going to defer to you. Like, and when it's my turn to pick up, like, I'm going to jump in there. Like, I think that has been the biggest part of like our dynamic and how we've been able to work together.
So I'm going to keep on that. Follow what you're saying. How has that affected you guys where you are now? Your roles now, because you guys found out 2011, 12, 13, whatever years you guys met, that this is my guy. This is my guy. Like, this is my I can depend on. This is a guy I can call at 2:00. Hey, I'm going through. How does that role with you guys right now? How does that help you guys in your roles right now? Because I got young people out here who I tell people you can't do it by yourself.
Right.
There's no way you can do things by yourself. You need a team of people. You need people who you can be confident in and feel comfortable with and trust. I'll let you go. I'll you start.
Good layup, Aaron. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sure, I'm chomping at the bit here. So, you know, I mean, our government is politics is designed for us to accomplish great things for the community, but it's designed in a way that we can't do it alone, whether you are elected or appointed or you are a private paid government relations official. Right. And so we've leaned on each other since really the beginning of our careers, from that point where we met each other, from weighing job opportunities to supporting each other, because this isn't easy. This isn't easy. And I'll preface this by saying I was, you know, in the conversation and he overheard both of you all overheard part of the conversation last week. I was in a conversation with some of my colleagues and we were trying to make a decision on something, and some of my colleagues were afraid to upset certain people. And I remember saying, there are 188 members of the General Assembly. It is impossible to get anything done without upsetting someone, right? But you also have to measure political capital and kind of think through that. So all through our careers, when we've had to make major decisions, whether it's whether to take a job, or what position we're going to take on a particular issue, or if we were just facing a challenging point in our careers, we relied on each other. We relied on each other. We helped each other process through that. You know, my friend Altman over here, the Omega man, he's more like, look, you know, go ahead, bust through that wall. You know, we're going straight through it. Where our legal mind over here is like, well, let's slow down a little bit and just kind of think about it. Where I'm more of a political strategist kind of person, where I'm like, all right, well, how does this fit into the overall big picture? And then as we became more and more successful and more reliable and our credibility increased, we took what we poured into each other to pour into the other. So I eventually became chief of staff. I got that cushy job at the county council before I left to become a lobbyist. And then as his career was moving on, I was able to help him in some ways to advance his career. And we were all able to work with Maurice when he was looking at making career decisions. And even with my most recent opportunities, I'm a rookie in the corporate lobbyist world. So as I was faced with an opportunity, we sat right here at this location that we are now, and we had weeks of conversation about what I should do, how I should do it, how I should negotiate my compensation package, what I should expect, why this is important, not only for us, but for us as a people and for us as a collective.
Somebody's coming behind you.
Exactly.
That's right.
Somebody's coming behind you.
Yes. So, I mean, I think we missed an important part. Like, you know, or at least for me, once I got to county government, because everything I had done leading to get to the county, whether it was working at D.C. Superior Court, whether it was working for the Prince George's County Circuit Court, besides a few campaigns that I'd done, like, I was planning to be a career public servant. Like, I planned to stay in government. You know, I was on the council administration side, not in a particular office, but, like, you know, I enjoyed the work of supporting the council members, you know, making sure that they had everything they needed to do their job, you know, whether it was, you know, working staff in a committee, giving them all the, doing all their research and background, and just, again, providing them the information that they need to help make a decision, not being influential in their decision, but just making sure that they had all the information that they needed. And so, you know, I think Davion was the first person to make the jump. And so, you know, that was like, okay, but like, nah, I ain't there yet. Like, I still want to do this. And then Altman made the jump, and it's like, okay, well, then you start getting there, like, you're almost alone. You're like, well, okay, all my people who I thought we were going to do government together, all this county time, you know, and everybody start getting there, you know, get out of jail free card. Yeah, exactly. Right. They came up a bro, and they got out. But yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of an important part of the conversation, is just like kind of making that decision, because it was really tough for me. You know, I wanted to stay in government. I just wanted to get better at it, so I went back to law school at night while working for the government. You know, Altman got his master's at night. We would study together during our lunch breaks and stuff, preparing for exams when he was getting his MPA. And so, like, you know, I finally kind of got to a place where I was like, okay, I do want to do something different, but I want to be in government or government adjacent. And, you know, then the opportunity to come into the private sector presented itself, and, you know, I felt like I could still do good work. Because, like I said, I'm a Obama Democrat, right? Like, I came, like, that was the first president I voted for. Mm-hmm. And then President Obama, when he ran, he always talked about, like, fat cat corporate, right. You know, like, you know, the greedy corporates, the fat cats on Wall Street. That was his slogan. So I was like, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, he talked about community organizing and all this stuff. I was like, that's what I want to do. And so, like, I was really having a struggle, like, in kind of having a shift from, you know, my role model and kind of what I thought I was going to do to coming on the other side. And so, you know, I just thought that might be something with.
Go ahead. I just wanted to jump in really quickly before we go over to you, Altman, and that's a very important point that you made, and it brings me to my point. You know, sometimes life's circumstances kind of shifts or significantly shifts your goal, and I don't share this too often, but I think it's very important for me to share this now. But and they know, you know. When I was at the county council, my wife at the time and I suffered a tragic loss. Yeah. We lost our daughter at 38 weeks. It was due to medical malpractice, and there was a lot to that. You can Google it. You can look up on my Facebook page. It explains everything. And so when I returned to the county council from that time being off, it was just hard to adjust. They were a part of my life, many members and staff. We're either at my wedding or baby shower, and everything was just hard to adjust. So I got this opportunity that I wasn't expecting to become a lobbyist, right? I was preparing to run for office as well, but I got this opportunity and decided, all right, I'm just going to take the jump and do something else, something different, where I can just focus on something else. An interesting part about it is one of the first clients I was assigned was a hospital. And then I really did a really kind of delve deep into the healthcare policy space, and kind of shifted from my original desire at the time to run for public office and affect change that way. And I think that's important because, you know, later Altman came out and went into the government relations sector, and then later Maurice did, and we're both being successful, but we all had this desire to run for public office, right. And then I made the jump, and it was really because of a personal tragedy that I faced, but I was able to use that and make the best of it, as well as help my close friends do the same.
And also, I was going to say, I don't think our goals change just in the means in which we're achieving them.
Yeah, good point.
You know, I don't know if everyone watches Game of Thrones, but there's a period in there where, you know, Tyrion is talking to Daenerys Targaryen, and she's like, I want to break the will. And Tyrion's like, you can't break the will, but you can steer the ship. And so, you know, even within the political structure we have, you know, you can't go in there and really just like break everything down. But, you know, we're essentially the tip of the spear in our various sectors and industries, right? Like, there's not many people that look like us in this capacity, but we're leaving doors open and, you know, making examples of what can be, because I had no clue what lobbying was. I was on the county council, and I used to see these guys in these great suits. Some had bow ties on. Some had these fine linens and stuff like on, driving Porsches and all these types of things. And I was like, well, I want to be that, right? If I'm not
going to have time, our boat changes.
That's right. That's right. How come every time, you know, all these politicians and staffers are here and these people are here, who are they? Right. And, you know, I just parted my lips. What do you guys do? Or the lobbyists. What does that mean? Well, we help inform and potentially advocate on behalf of certain things going on in this community. And I looked deeper into it. I was like, I think I can do that because I'm good at relationship building. I'm good at maintaining relationships. I'm good at being social. You know, I'm good at absorbing information and repeating it back in a very quick manner. Let me try this. And, you know, my good brother here jumped out first, and I said, all right, great. Well, there's a model here. There's a model here. I don't have to, like, you know, do all these things. I can do this and be good at it. And I tried my hand at it, and it worked. And then, you know, we kind of went our separate ways. Maurice went to law school. I went to grad school. I worked in the kind of, quasi public-private sector at a nonprofit doing GR and stuff like that. Davion was down here already in Annapolis, like, killing it, tearing the game up, staying on the front steps. You know, you can look that up, too.
I remember.
But, you know, we always vocalized our intentions. And years before I got to, now, my current company, I would say, I want to do this, right? We didn't have our eyes fixed on Annapolis directly, but we said, I wanted to do this. And we haven't touched on it just yet, and I know we're coming up on time, but we eventually decided to kind of put a name to this thing. Do you want to, you know, that?
Well, I mean, I will. No, but I was going to say, like, I was the one resistant to become a lobbyist. Okay. Like, you know, studying political science, I understood government, I understood the public's participation and, you know, the idea of government officials are supposed to be representative of their constituents. Mm-hmm. So that was the angle I came from around, again, grassroots community organizing, making sure that the people were heard and that, you know, lobbyists were these big, high-paid corporate fat cats that would come in only for, you know, corporate greed and,
right.
You know, just and would influence a legislator more than their constituents could.
Right.
And so, like, fundamentally, I had a challenge with that. And so, you know, so I was probably a little slower to the party because I was like, that's not what I want to do. But it wasn't until, you know, I embraced and I got into it and I said, you know what, like, every company's not a bad company. Like, companies are designed to make a profit and they have a constituency, their employees, whose families that they feed, and, you know, that helps keep the economy going. But companies also do good things, too. And I think, you know, that's, you know, whether it's, you know, sustainability goals or charitable giving or just the natural work of providing clean energy, like, you know, whatever it is, you know, providing healthcare services. Like, you know, you think about a hospital, but you don't recognize, like, well, that's a private entity, right? But it provides an essential service, and so, like, there's economics to it. And so, like, it's like, okay, well, you know, so it just took a lot for me to, like, reshape my mind around it and say, like, you could do this job in being an educator
to legislators in this particular subject matter that, you know, their constituents, they have their feelings and opinions about things which are important, but, like, you know, there are just some hard facts that, like, we all need to operate from, and that's what we should be doing that doesn't in turn cause a harm to people. And I think that's what I'm able to feel good about. Like, I wanted to be able to work for an organization where I could feel good about the work that I'm working on. But yeah, and so, like, you know, we all found our way into these respective roles. We the band was back together.
What's the name of the pot? What's the name of the crew?
So yeah, so
what's the name of the crew? What's the name of the crew?
The strongest together. Stronger together.
So, because we have to wrap up with a bow, because we're gonna do a part two down in Mako. If you guys are down,
yes, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Do a part two in Mako. What do you want people to walk away with? 30 seconds from this episode.
It's not where you start. I think wherever you start, you need to build a foundation with people that you respect and trust. And then from there, you can go anywhere. And that your paths will diverge throughout your career. But if you're connected and grounded in certain principles and values, that your path is going to connect again.
I think it's pull people up with you. We're all trailblazers in our own rights, whether we're the first people for in our position, first African-American, first person to accomplish X, Y, and Z. And one of my mentors told me my mentor who hired me for my first job in Prince George's County, he said, this is where you began, but this is not where you end. And when you get into a position to help pull other people up, especially people who look like us, you open that door for them and do the same thing for others.
As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another.
Folks, playing down in Annapolis, brothers doing big things. Part two, maybe in Mako. Good luck on the rest of the session.
Thank you.
Where is the to be continued?
We need it.
Here is to be continued.
Love, to you.
Peace, we're out.